1 Timothy chapter 6, if you want to turn in your Bibles, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Beautiful passage about the goodness of our God this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 17 through 19 together. Of 1 Timothy 6. The Bible says, "Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." So God giveth us richly is our title this morning. Let's pray. Lord, I love you, and I pray that you would use your word in our hearts now this morning. Lord, that each of us would listen and learn and grow and respond as the Holy Spirit speaks to us. We are grateful for this opportunity to open your word together and assemble in the name of Jesus Christ and ask that he be honored in this service, in whose name we pray. Amen. So, of course, God is reminding us here that we're not to trust in our riches. We're not to trust in earthly things. It's easy, isn't it, to trust in that paycheck every week? But God could just as easily take that paycheck away. We're to be trusting in him. Jesus told us when he gave us the model prayer in Matthew 6, "Give us this day our daily bread." We're to be trusting the Lord for our daily needs, trusting the Lord for our provision. And what can happen oftentimes, especially with material things, is when we are overly blessed, which that's coming from the Lord, we can then forget the Lord and forget to trust the Lord. And that was a danger in Israel, and it's a danger for us. So go to Deuteronomy 6. I'll show you an example. And then we'll look at Proverbs. But Deuteronomy, look at chapter 6, verse 10. And God here is just warning us that when he does choose to bless us materially, and he often does, that we need to be careful not to allow the devil to use that against us to draw us away from our fellowship with the Lord. So notice Deuteronomy 6, look at verse 10. It says, "And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." So God says, I'm going to give you the promised land. I'm going to give you so much. I'm just going to pour out the blessings. Beware. Beware. And if you go to Proverbs 11 and verse 28, the wisest man outside of Christ that lived gave us a similar warning. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 28. "He that trusteth in his riches shall fall." That's from the Lord. And then look at Proverbs chapter 30, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 7. "Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee, and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal, and take the name of my God in vain." Solomon says, "Lord, I pray that I don't have too much to the point where I forget you, but I pray that I'm also not have so little that I have to steal to eat. Just provide my needs." That's what he's saying. Again, give us this day our daily bread. And so what God is telling us here in 1 Timothy 6, we're talking about riches, and as you'll see, it's not just financial riches, but we have to be careful. And you know, I personally believe that anybody could be rich if God chose to make them rich, but the majority of us can't handle it. And that's why it doesn't happen. Because God knows that the love of money is the root of all evil. Amen? Which is also in this same chapter, by the way, verse 10. He knows this, and he knows that the majority of us, if we were wealthy, we wouldn't be able to handle it. It would draw us away from our fellowship with the Lord. So it's not that God is mean. God is always good. But he also knows what we're made of, and he knows what's best for us. But he's just warning all of us, but especially the wealthy, not to trust in riches, but in the living God, as it says here in verse 17. Our God is alive. Amen. And we're to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not unto our own understanding. But I love what he says at the end of the verse, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. I love this verse. You know, we have to acknowledge that there's so much to enjoy in this world. Amen. Especially in New Zealand. We have one of the most beautiful countries in the world. And I've been to 26 countries, and I can say this country is amazing. And we have so much to enjoy, and God gave it to us to enjoy. It's not a sin to go enjoy God's creation. It's not a sin that we have a sense of humor, for example. Now, we have to be careful with it, but the animals don't have a sense of humor, do they? The animals just do what their instincts tell them to do. But we have so much. And God's saying he gaveth all these things richly for us to enjoy. He provides richly. And as we look around and as we look at how blessed we are, we need to just be thankful for our kind and giving God. Now, as Christians, it goes beyond just what we see around us and all the things he's given us to enjoy. He's given us a new life. Amen. He's given us heaven. And then he talks about that in Ephesians 3, if you want to turn there, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. But our God has given us as his children, well, essentially everything. You know, the Bible says we're joint heirs with Christ. The Bible says we have an inheritance in heaven that's incorruptible and undefiled. But notice here in Ephesians 3, 8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. The unsearchable riches of Christ. We have so much in Christ, it's unsearchable, the riches that God has given us. Again, we know he's not just talking about financial here. He's talking about all the things that God gives us. His presence, his power, his victory, his wisdom, his comfort, his strength. These unsearchable riches that we have in Jesus Christ. God has blessed us in so many ways. If you would look at Psalm 68:19, David understood this. And David understood that God gives us richly all things to enjoy. And that's our first point in this passage this morning, is God gives us richly. Notice Psalm 68, verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. Isn't that good? We sing that song, count your many blessings, do you? Do you recognize the daily benefits that God pours upon you? Because God wants us to. We're to be thankful for all things. And it's never wrong to stop and reflect, how did God bless me today? Because the Bible says he daily loadeth me with benefits. So God gives us richly all things to enjoy. God is a everything God, and he blesses his children beyond measure. And we need to be grateful for his giving. But the second point, verse 18 of our passage, is because he blesses us so much. Look what he asks of us. That they do good and that they be rich in good works. So he's using that same word, richly, or rich. We have been given richly all things to enjoy. He blesses us daily with benefits. But God says, now I want you to be rich in good works. I want you to take all that I keep pouring out upon you and put it to work. Amen? And we'll see that again later on in the passage in verse 18. But we're to be rich in good works. To be otherwise is to be extremely selfish, if you think about it. If God is pouring so much on upon us, and we are not in return serving him, aren't we really just taking it for granted what he's done for us? When he's asked us to be his servants, we're saying, yes, Lord, keep pouring them on, pouring them on. Thank you. Keep pouring on the blessings, and I'm just going to sit here and enjoy them. God says, no. I want you to enjoy them, but I want you to now serve. I want you to be rich in good works. And if you go to Ephesians 2:10, the Bible teaches that we are saved by grace. Hallelujah. Most of you know verses 8 and 9. But we are saved to serve. We are saved by grace alone. But once we are saved, God wants us to take our salvation and put it to use. Notice Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We've been saved by grace. We've been made a new creature so that we can serve. And God wants us to be rich in good works. In Titus 2, the Bible says we're to be zealous of good works. So what God is teaching is that he pours out the blessings on us every day. Now, we often don't recognize them, and that's not good. We should. We should daily be looking for all those benefits that he's pouring out. But we also should be rich in good works as a way of saying, thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Thank you for all you've given me. Let me give back through my service. Thirdly, verse 18, so not only will we be rich in good works, but thirdly, it says we're to be ready to distribute. So we're not only to take all these riches that he pours upon us and in turn serve him, but we're also to in turn serve others. You know, the day you got saved, God gave you gifts. We talked about this last week in Sunday school. 13 different gifts available to Christians. You need to find out which ones he gave you and put them to use. God gave each of us unique talents, didn't he? In different areas, different strengths. God didn't give us those things to bury them, as we read in the parable. He gave us those things to what? Distribute. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. You know why the fruit of the Spirit is all those things? So that we can now touch other lives for Jesus Christ. We're to distribute. Willing to communicate. That word communicate is an older usage of the word. It means, again, to touch others. To touch others. Look at Proverbs 11:25, if you would. Solomon taught us this principle here about the liberal soul. And this is not talking about liberal in politics. This is talking about being a giving person. But notice Proverbs 11, verse 25. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. In Sunday school this morning, we look at Romans 12:13. The Bible says we're to distribute to the necessity of saints. Here we're told to be a liberal soul. And then if you look at Hebrews 13:16, we'll see it again. But God wants us to be distributing his riches to others. And you know, I'm not just talking about material here. I'm talking about all that God has given us, all that God has made us stewards of. Our time, our talents, our treasure, our gifts, our abilities, everything. God's richly blessed us. And he wants us to serve him. But he wants us to take that and be a conduit. Amen? To touch others. Look at Hebrews 13:16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. Now that again, that word communicate is talking about touching others. Not talking about what comes out of our mouth. It's talking about touching others. It says, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. God gives us richly. And he says, in return, would you serve me? And would you take all these riches that I keep piling on you and pass them on to others? Now, if you would, look at Luke 6:38. I love this verse. Because God tells us in this verse that he doesn't have to, but he chooses to bless us the more that we bless others. And so what it is when God discovers a conduit, God puts it to use. Amen? Makes me think of Pastor Anger. He's a conduit. You know, for decades, people just threw so much money at him. But you know why? Because he then threw it at others and started ministries all around the world and had pastors' camps and paid for them. And God said, well, this is somebody I can use. So God just kept throwing it at him because he would just pass it on. He didn't put it in the bank. He used it to touch other lives. That's what he wants us all to be, as a conduit. Notice Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. Now look at these next two words. Shall men. We often skip that when we think about Luke 6:38. We think in our minds, yes, if I give, God will give to me. The more that I give, God will keep giving to me so I can keep giving. We're not just talking about money here. We're talking about everything. But when God gives to us, how does he do it? Does he drop it down out of the sky? No. He uses other people to give to us, doesn't he? That's how it works. If you get a special blessing of some sort, where did it come from? It's going to come from another person. That's what it says. Shall men give into your bosom? For with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. The more that you give, the more God gives. That's what it says. Now, if our motive is to get, then you're wasting your time. I'm going to give so that God can give to me. No, then you've lost the plot there. You should give because you want to give, because you love others and because you love God and he wants you to give. And the more that you give of yourself, all that God has given you, all that he's poured upon you richly, all these talents, all these abilities, all these things, all that God pours on you, the more that you then pass it on to others, guess what? He's just going to keep pouring it on. That's how it works. Ready to distribute. To distribute what? What do we have? Well, of our own, we have nothing. God owns our body. God owns our soul. God owns our spirit. God owns our house, whether we think we own it or not. God owns our car. He owns all that money that's in the bank. God owns it all. It's all his. We're just stewards. And that's what we're distributing, is what's his. When Jesus fed the 5,000, think about this. He miraculously took that little bit of food, right, and multiplied it to feed 5,000 men, plus women and children. We don't even know how many total people he fed from that little tiny bit of food. What was he showing? That he can miraculously create from nothing. Amen. That's Jesus. He's the creator. So why did he then have all the people sit down in companies of certain sizes and then take all this amazing creation and say to the 12 disciples, now I want you guys to distribute it? Why not do it the Baptist way, do buffet style? Why? Why have the disciples pass it out? Because he's teaching the disciples, guys, you're just distributors. You're not creators. You didn't make this food. I made the food. You distribute it. And everything that you have, you didn't make it. You didn't create it. God did. And he pours it upon you so that you can what? Distribute to others. Ready to distribute. That's our third point this morning. So he gave us richly. He wants us to be rich in good works. He wants us to be ready to distribute. And then lastly, verse 19 of 1 Timothy 6, laying up in store. Laying up in store. What does he mean? Well, let's look at Matthew 6, where Jesus explains it clearly for us. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. So remember, God is pouring it on richly. He's giving us richly every day, daily loads of the benefits. He says, I want you to serve me. I want you to take what I'm giving. I want you to distribute it to others. But also, Lastly, I want you to lay it up in store. Where? In the bigger barns like the man in Luke? No, in heaven. Amen? Luke 6:19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So he wants us to be laying it up in store. How do we do that? We can't send the money on to heaven. And by the way, even if we could, we don't need it. Don't need money in heaven. Don't need gold in heaven. You'd be walking on it. Amen? So what can we send? What can we send? What can we send up there? Well, if you study it through, God says every time you're a blessing to others, you've just laid something up in heaven. And think about it. Every time that you share the gospel with a lost person and they trust Jesus Christ as Savior, think about getting to meet them in heaven. And think about getting to meet in heaven the person that told you about Jesus. You think you'll thank them? Absolutely. You think you'll go up to that person in heaven and say, thank you so much for telling me about the Lord so I could be here forever? Absolutely. So we're to take everything of our lives that God keeps pouring on us, all these benefits, all these blessings that he richly bestows upon us. We're to take them and we're to serve him. We're to distribute to others. And we're to send it back. Amen? Send it back to heaven by laying up in store. You can lay up treasures in heaven every day. Every time you get down on your knees and pray one for another, pray for your leaders, pray for your enemies, you're laying up treasures in heaven. Every time you witness to the lost, you're laying up treasures in heaven. Every time you take what God has given you and you bless others, you're laying up treasures in heaven. Read in 1 Corinthians 3 about the gold and the silver and the precious stones that you're laying up in heaven. The thing is, a lot of Christians, again, they take it for granted. God is good. God blesses me all the time. God just keeps pouring on this me and I'm just loving it. Thank you, God. Just going to keep soaking it up. And we're going to get to heaven and have a lot of regrets if we don't take all that he keeps pouring on us and then pass it on. Amen? By serving him, by distributing to others, and by sending it back into glory and laying up treasures in heaven. God giveth us richly. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word.